Okay, now you can say it.
Say what?
Now, see, it just doesn't work if it's not spontaneous. Okay.
It doesn't.
Hello, and welcome to Hit in Abyss, a 5th edition homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Tonight I am joined by some incredibly awesome people, including Ellie, Eric, Io. Jen and Cindy are hanging out in chat, listening in. Archbeth is hanging out as well. Cats, no can has my snack, apparently. Or is that from last week? I honestly don't know. Oh well, in any case, my name is Crash, I'll be your DM for the evening, and what happened last week?
We moidled a dragon turtle, and then we didn't moidle a Sanctimonious, and then we took Sanctimonious to Sandstone, and that's where we are.
Pretty much.
Are we in Sandstone, or are we in...
Oh, we went to Plantain.
No, we're in Plantain. There we go. We took Sanctimonious to Sandstone, and then we took Sanctimonious to Plantain.
You know, that had the same breathe, Ellie, breathe vibe that we got from Millie when she did the recap for the last episode.
Oh, Millie's so much better at it than I am, though.
But she went a lot longer. You were very succinct. You focused on brevity, and I appreciate that. As someone who has to edit this afterwards, I appreciate that immensely. Thank you.
Well, if at first you don't succinct, you just suck.
I don't want to give inspiration for that. But I'm giving inspiration for that.
All right.
I think we'll allow it.
So
some interstitial notes.
Sorry?
Some interstitial notes. We defeated the dragon turtle with the help of an anonymous... We created this elaborate backstory for the evoker, but...
Yes, we did.
An anonymous evoker. Old Bob showed up, tried to convince us once again to take over the Admiralty so that he could leave, and then wandered off. We went to visit Sanctimonious, and he was feeling under the weather, and by under the weather, we mean the lightning in his brain had somewhat rather dimmed. So we decided that we ought to take him to Plantain to see Peter, who at least would cheer him up. On the way, we met Seelan. Seelan had a conversation with Bryn, which boiled down to, get rid of that gem. It's really important that you get rid of that gem. No, not going to. And then we went to Plantain with Sanctimonious, but not with Seelan.
To be fair, I didn't say that I wasn't going to, but, you know, I also didn't say I was.
No, Shan. And Christmas. That's where we are. Yes, exactly. It's Christmas, and all the presents go to me. You can't tell, but I'm giving the camera a beaming smile.
It's a shame it's an audio-only format. You'll just have to let your imagination wander. No, don't wander there. No, get away from that. Never mind.
Sorry.
Why do we even have that lever?
That was almost a non sequitur. Almost. Hello, I'm from the Non Sequitur Society. You might not make much sense, but boy, do we love cheese.
We do like cheese.
All right. So,
here's a question for you. How many members of the Non Sequitur Society does it take to change a light bulb?
Let's go water skiing.
Let's go ride bikes. Anyway.
Anyway.
Still lost.
You teleported to Plantain, and as soon as you popped into existence at the teleportation circle in Plantain, Which is
a banana republic.
I hate to say it, but isn't it a monarchy?
Hush.
A matriarch. Matriarchy.
As soon as you got there, Mazir leaned over to Bryn and said, you know, there's a volcano right over there.
It's true, she did.
Which is why tonight's episode is called A Simple Walk. Because you could simply walk over to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're at Plantain. You're still on top of the plant of the teleportation circle. You are on the second floor of an open plan building. It's just large enough to have like a little like embarking and debarking area for the teleportation circle. There's a roof over top, but there's no walls. There's a railing that goes around. It allows for a lot of airflow. A lot of airflow is useful in Plantain's climate for some reason. And there is a staircase that does lead down and out into the city itself. Your first impression is that it is quite warm. It is quite humid. Imagine, if you will, Florida. imagine, if you will, Florida in... Well, the only time I've ever been to Florida is in July. So imagine, if you will, Florida in July, because that's what I'm picturing. And what would you like to do?
Is the staircase downstairs currently full of what's the term for lava when it's not hot anymore?
Rock.
Igneous yeah. rock.
What's the lava situation?
The lava situation is, if you took the time to look closely, a lot of the buildings in the vicinity do appear to be made out of either stone or some form of compressed ash or concrete that is the same color of the volcanic ash that you encountered. So far as world time is concerned, 5 years ago. For you, maybe only less than a month.
Wait, compressed ash?
Yeah.
Paige is never going to get that gunblade, is she?
Well, we didn't compress his weapons, and he didn't have a weapon.
Oh, okay.
She also has his teeth, which is very disturbing.
Eric?
Yes?
I have a request to make.
Okay.
I need to cast Legend Lore. It requires some relatively expensive incense, though, and, well, all the gold is in a bag of holding who knows where. They perfect it, probably. So, could you perhaps ask about acquiring some?
Well, we are not
the incense,
from...
not the gold.
What specifically are we looking for? I think if we could find my sister, we might be able to get some.
Bryn starts describing the material components necessary for Legend Lore, which are incense worth at least 250 gold pieces, which the spell consumes, and 4 ivory strips worth at least 50 gold pieces each, which it does not.
Monsieur DM.
Oui, oui.
I would like to go find my sister, please.
Okay. Where do you think Lilia would be hanging out?
I'm assuming she would be in her many little catacombs. However, I haven't seen her in 5 years, so good question. Let's
also,
go ask
those
that.
Those many little catacombs were covered in lava and ash.
That's true, so. That's true. Let me think about this. Let's go talk to Father in the castle to see if they're around.
Okay. When you go to the palace, the guards recognize you right away. You've already had the tearful reunion. You had that during the climactic battle with the orcish horde. So there's no surprise I'm alive situation happening here.
No, but lots of hugs. Always hugs. We are a very loving family.
Yes, there are Aww. Ribs that creak on both sides.
Aww.
And because... everyone in this party has also encountered the Perez family.
Hugs for everyone!
Yes, pretty much. So, now I'm scrolling through trying to find the names. I know that Eric's father is named Perez A. Perez.
I see.
Jason. Jason's your brother, right? This is where everything goes completely silent.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay, so Jason's like,
good.
Eric, so glad to see you! Big hug. But don't think you can get away from me. And he goes over and he gives Bryn a big hug. And he goes over to Mazir, who has apparently cast mirror image. So there's 4 of her, and he hugs a mirror image that goes poof. Like, you're a sneaky one.
It's all right. She does that.
So what can we do for you?
I need to find Lilia.
And also Peter.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm assuming Peter would be with Jason or whatever on his own. But anyways, neither here nor there. Yes, we need to find Lilia so we can go see if we can acquire some things that Bryn will need.
I'll deliver sanctimonious to Peter and Jason.
Okay. Well, Jason's right here along with Perez. Perez. Peter is not here, but they say that he is currently at the barracks, probably training.
Okay, I misunderstood what Eric said then. I'll deliver sanctimonious to Peter, and we'll meet up later.
Okay. Well, Lilia's probably in the library. That's where she's been spending most of her time.
Okay, no problem. We're going to go to the library.
Okay, and just a 2 quick notes for the listeners. Eric is Puerto Rican, so he gets to do that accent. He may do the accent as much as he wants, because the DM is not going to tell a Puerto Rican what accents they are and are not allowed to use. The DM is not Puerto Rican, so he will not be using that accent. But imagine, if you will, that everyone here that grew up here is in fact also using that accent, because they were all created by Eric, the player. So
yes.
That's his prerogative. It's his backstory, and if he ever decides to do a homebrew world, it's probably going to be Plantain at this point. Or if it doesn't have Plantain in it, I'll be very upset. Because my word, you did a lot of world building for this.
Honestly, I would love, just on a side note, apologize to derail everything. I would love to do a arena Olympic style event.
The GM will make a note of this. You can't see because there's no camera involved, but I am moving my hand on my beard in a thoughtful way.
Crash, I enjoy doing that. Remember this.
Yeah, you see a little note appear. The DM will remember this. Two of you head to the library. You do find a candlestick and a... Yes, thank you. Thank you, Eric. What a wonderful GIF. And one of you heads off in a totally different direction. We will deal with the library first because that's closer. So you get to the library and you see tons of books, lots of books everywhere. There's books stacked all over the place. The palace was mostly unscathed in the volcano eruption. There's a lot that was done to protect it from all kinds of threats, and lava was not very high on the list of things that could get through. An adamantine dirigible, however, was able to break through. But it was an adamantine dirigible, and who plans for that? But Lilia is one of the few people that is actually in the library here. She is leaning back in a chair with her feet up on a table, and she is looking at a book, frowning at it, as if frowning would make all the information get into her brain faster, so she doesn't have to be reading the book anymore.
Sounds exactly like what Lilia would be doing. Hola, hermana. How are you doing? Come here. Come on.
1 second. I need to make a roll. Okay. She falls off her chair. And then immediately runs over to give you a hug.
Lilia,
then she punches you.
What was that for?
Because you were dead for 5 years, brother.
But I'm still here.
Yeah, now you are. For 5 years, you weren't.
You know there's nothing that's going to kill me. It's going to take
for 5 years. I did not know that, brother.
Well, I am here now, and that's all that matters. But more importantly, we need to make sure that we help Bryn out. Please listen to her while she describes everything that she needs. I'm sure we can find it. It's got to be here somewhere.
Okay. What do you need?
I need to cast Legend Lore.
Oh, and she lists off the ingredients you need.
Right.
Yeah, I think we've got that.
Oh, excellent. It's important.
Yeah, usually is. Right, well, follow me. I know where to get it.
Bryn follows.
Okay. Anything to stop having to study.
I've had days like that.
I see you've grown, Lilia. You haven't found a suitor yet?
No, I haven't.
You know, Father would rather have you find the suitor soon.
Yeah,
you
are definitely.
You're as bad as my mother, Eric.
No, he just knows Dad.
Bryn gives Lilia a sympathetic look. Anyway,
she gives a look in return that is pretty much a yeah. Thanks for being on the same page. book page, not. Other page.
Little backstory, real quick. You guys already know that this plantain is, again, very matriarch, but Perez would like to have his daughter marry someone that they don't follow the code of the matriarchs. They can marry a person of stature, or they can marry a person of work, blue collar, if you will. There's no status needed to marry the Perezes. However, they have to be committed to the craft. So again, doesn't matter what the person is, as long as their work. Perez is a big proponent of working and that type of thing. So,
and Lilia's standards are: she wants someone who is strong, brave, but will immediately cower upon her taking off her chancla. And she hasn't quite found the right person yet.
Correct.
Because most of the ones that are brave and strong are not smart enough to immediately cower when she takes off her chancla. Okay, so swatch over. You're wearing a Swedish-made watch, which is really weird. But I've already said that interplanetary travel is a thing. So you are at the barracks, and Sanctimonious is looking around like, okay. Oh, yeah, Peter. And when you get there, the guards do recognize you. You were here 5 years ago. They know you're a friend of Eric, so they do let you in. When you inquire for where Peter is, they point out that he's probably practicing. So they take you to that particular courtyard area.
Okay.
And there is a target dummy that is currently being hacked up a lot by a much taller and slightly wider than before. I mean, he's still pretty skinny. He probably is never going to be as muscle-bound as Eric is. But he's done all right for himself. But there is Peter is there, exhibiting what Mazir would recognize as decent form with a short sword.
Hmm. It's all those platanos and yuca, all that in the body gives it form.
And as you arrive, Peter manages to cut the target dummy in half. The top half starts sliding backwards, and before it hits the ground, Peter pulls out a gun and shoots it, and it slides a bit further backwards than it normally would have.
Well, I see they're teaching you interesting tactics, Peter.
Mazir!
Indeed. How have you been?
Is everyone with you?
Bryn, Eric, and Ulfgar are off visiting Eric's sister, but I brought Sanctimonious with me, and I'll step aside to reveal Sanctimonious. As much as I could have hidden him, we'll assume the camera's very low to the ground.
Well, it's been 5 years. Peter's gotten a lot taller.
True.
He has started hitting that growth spurt. And they do have a conversation that the DM is not going to roleplay out entirely because the DM, forgive him.
Does not want to talk to himself.
Does not want to spend the rest of the day talking to himself, no. But they are both somewhat awkward. Like, how are you been? I've been doing well. How are you? Oh, fine, fine. The tower's pretty quiet nowadays, et cetera, et cetera. But Peter is very glad to see both of you and very glad to hear that at least half of the party has come back as well. He's very interested in seeing everyone.
Oh, and I'll make sure he knows that everybody else is okay as well, at least as of this morning.
Yeah. Last conversation you had, you were the ones that had more danger that you had to deal with because of the whole dragon turtle thing.
Right.
They were all like, wait, what? So what brings you to Plantain?
Ulfgar's got those sending stones, doesn't he?
That he does, but we haven't really talked about who he was giving them to.
Well, he gave one to Onka, I think.
We're going to have to possibly retcon a few things because you've been using a lot of sending spells.
Yeah, we really have.
now that we think about it.
I mean, that fight in the last session was much more difficult because Onka had used up so many spell slots.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh,
I thought he had given one to Onka, but I also thought they could only be initiated from one side. I haven't looked him up.
In my head canon, this totally happened, but Onka put them in the bag of holding, then immediately forgot that she'd been given them.
Oh, no.
She'll be rooting around there for something else, like, oh, what's... Oh!
Onka grabs the sending stone out of the bag of holding, and the backlog of messages comes flooding through.
And let's be fair, they'd be coming from Ulfgar, so they would be very verbose.
They would.
We'd have several jump cuts of Onka just listening to all the messages, wishing that there was a fantasy fast-forward button. Can we listen to this at double speed?
Right.
So, Harsh Breath in chat is Peter. Saying, your message file is full. Please delete your messages. I'm trying to press 7 to do that, but there's actually no buttons on this.
Maybe you have to say 7.
Yeah.
Ulfgar gets a whole bunch of messages that are just Onka saying 7 over and over and over again. It's like getting call from someone, someone calling an answering machine, and the answering machine is just, I don't know if it's recording or not. Is it recording? I don't know how to work this. And then cuts off and there's a beep.
Say 7 in order to delete previous messages. 7. Unknown command, Sephiroth. Say 7 to delete previous messages.
I love this game so much.
I feel like I've seen that before or heard of it. All right.
Peter, we felt that Sanctimonious could use a vacation in a place that wasn't quite so besieged as Sandstone and not be quite so isolated in his tower. I mean,
well, I did ask him to come along when I came here.
Yeah, but understandably, is it just the two of us or is it the three of us at the moment?
It's the three of you.
Okay.
Well, all of my stuff was in the tower.
And understandably, the last time that he left the tower for any significant length of time...
A necromancer took it over and made it a flying tower. Yes.
And I mean, you gotta be able to remember where you parked your tower.
I did remember where I parked it. Someone moved it.
Okay. So you gotta park your tower in a place that has a no towing ordinance.
There is a no towing ordinance. There just wasn't a no levitating ordinance. We didn't think we needed one at the time. Archbeth says Grand Theft Tower. Yep. Accurate. She hasn't spent her inspiration from the last two times I gave it to her, so she's not getting any for that. But I'd be willing to if she'd spent it.
It seemed like he wasn't getting out, so we convinced him to take a vacation with.
Well, I'm very happy to see all of you. All of you. But I just rolled really high on an insight check, so I think you had another reason for coming here, too.
Oh, we definitely had another reason for coming here, too. But
right, then I went in.
I am not going to try and talk you out of it, but it's something we should perhaps discuss in a place that isn't quite so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Full of guards?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Eric probably went off to see his family, right?
Yes, he's visiting his sister in the library.
He should watch out for candlesticks. And,
if there are any extremely extremely wealthy temples in the area, that would be useful to know.
I am intrigued and terrified.
Is that Peter or the DM?
I was just about to ask the same thing.
Yes. Well, technically, the DM already knows the plot, so no, the DM is not terrified at all. The DM is here for this content. That was Peter.
A temple that won't miss some incense and a bit of decoration.
Well, if he decided to ask Lilia for it, I have an idea about which temple it's going to be. We can probably meet them there.
Well, let's do that.
Okay. And you head off. So the temple to Argonia, there is a temple to Argonia in Plantain. Argonia is a goddess of the ocean and goddess of chance and fortune. So any port city might have a temple to Argonia in it. Plantain is no exception. And that's the temple that Lilia decides is a great place to go to acquire items at a 5-finger discount.
Oh, dear.
Look, you asked for this stuff. You didn't say where they're going to come from.
You'll understand why I didn't say that in the chat. Or in voice, rather.
I was going to say, you did say that in chat. You definitely said that in chat. I mean, it's right there. You said it. Archbeth is asking, is it 5-finger discount if you're royalty or just taxes?
That's an interesting question.
Okay. And she walks you over to close to the front of the temple, but not in front of it exactly, and says, okay, so there's a lot of temples to Argonia that aren't there anymore. So this one's been getting a lot of the offerings that are meant for other places. So they're kind of loaded.
Are we there? My group, my little...
You are approaching. You can see Lilia and Eric and Bryn.
The way you say that sort of makes me wonder if Mazir should have come with us. Oh, Mazir!
Hello. What a pleasant surprise to see all of you here.
Yes, Lilia was going to be giving us a hand finding the material components for legend lore.
Oh.
Peter gives Mazir a very smug "I told you so" look.
You are absolutely correct, Peter. I let it be known that I am never one to say, to not say, you were right and I was wrong. And with that being said, I believed in you 100% and you were right.
And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
It's true.
I say this to my wife all the time.
Oh, so, yes, I've met her.
The player has promptly forgotten Eric's sister's name again.
Lilia.
I was going to say Livia. Lilia. Okay. Will you excuse me? I believe I hear a back entrance calling my name.
Have fun storming the temple. Okay. The DM is going to suggest moving the plot forward just a little bit faster by having you give me a sleight of hand check and a stealth check.
Oh, okay. This is going to take a while because Discord is lagging.
Okay, well, that's a 22 for stealth. No one sees you.
Well.
I'm taking I'm preferring to roll sleight of hand instead of sleight of hand.
Wow.
27. So at one point, you get a little confused about the exact kinds of incense you're supposed to be taking. So without people seeing you come back out, you're just suddenly there with the group with your arms full of a wide variety of incenses. You smell something like one of those candle shops that one encounters in a mall, where it's all the scents combined.
Oh, those give me such a headache.
I know, right?
Check me out. I'm allspice.
You definitely are. I don't actually need all that, but here, this looks like what I need. Will you be able to get the rest back in without them smelling you? Maybe I should prestidigitate you to make sure you don't...
No problem.
Bryn casts prestidigitation to make Monsieur smell less like she applied every perfume in existence at once.
Lilia suggests just leaving it on the front door and they'll think it's another donation.
That makes sense.
That's fair.
And oddly enough, it resembles the stuff that just recently got stolen. What a wonderful coincidence.
Now, this is the player knowing. What's the other physical component?
4 ivory strips worth 50 gold pieces each.
Oh, okay. This is the player's knowledge coming into play because wealthy temples in ancient Greece had what are known as chryselephantine statues. Which meant that they were decorated with gold and ivory. So, if this temple also happens to have chryselephantine statues, why? Some of those ivory strips might go missing.
Some of those ivory strips apparently did go missing because Mizir brought them too when she rolled a friggin' 27 for her sleight of hand check.
You know what the best part is?
Die roll is a 13?
No. No, the best part is that I'm an arcane trickster. So I can use Mage Hand to do this. I don't even have to go inside the building.
You do have to be able to see what you're doing.
Right. But it's a temple. There's going to be lots and lots of stained glass windows to look through.
Not so much in Plantain. Plantain.
Okay.
There's a lot of open windows, but yeah, whatever. So moving forward, Bryn, you've got your materials.
All right.
Lilia suggests a location where you can do this that's not in the middle of a city street, in front of the location where the spell components were stolen.
I was just about to ask if we could head back to, not here.
Okay. The page symbol zooms forward, spinning, and then zooms back out again. I'm going to pick a random player every time I do that gag. And you are suddenly back in the library that Lilia was trying not to study in.
Okay, Bryn's going... Is everyone here with me?
Yes. Okay. Unless you don't want them to be, in which case you can politely ask them to leave and they probably will. Or not. I mean, Mizir, you can't always tell.
Bryn's just going to find a nice place to sit down and light the incense and draw the symbols necessary, lay out the ivory strips, and it doesn't look like the object actually has to be out for this, so she's just going to sit down and start mentally laying out everything she knows about the gem as she casts, which is basically its function, where she found it, the fact that Mo showed up looking for it that one time, and generally the sum of all the information she's got about it, because the way legend lore works, the more you already know, the more you learn.
Okay. So you find one of those desks that you can sometimes find in libraries where it's got like the really tall walls on three sides of it for like privacy purposes. And you sit down and you do all that. And what does the legend lore spell specifically say it does for you?
Name or describe a person, place, or object. The spell brings to your mind a brief summary of the significant lore about the thing you named. The lore might consist of current tales, forgotten stories, or even secret lore that has never been widely known. If the thing you named isn't of legendary importance, you gain no information. The more information you already have about the thing, the more precise and detailed the information you receive is. The information you learn is accurate, but might be couched in figurative language. For example, if you have a mysterious magic axe on hand, the spell might yield this information. Woe to the evildoer whose hand touches the axe, for even the haft slices the hand of the evil ones. Only a true child of stone, lover and beloved of Moradin, may awaken the true powers of the axe, and only with the sacred word Rednog on the lips. That's the spell description.
I'm very glad that I have a backstory for this gem, because this would be very awkward otherwise. Okay, so this gem is very, very old. It has passed from one set of hands to another over centuries. The methods that were used to create it don't work anymore, because magic, the way magic works, literally changed since it was created. So this is an artifact that is unique at this point, because the DM's not going to deal with having two of them in the world, for crying out loud. The last person to have it was a particular gnome named Finagle Fleabottom, who acquired it through a deal with a tiefling who looks very familiar to you. And you don't quite know what the bargain entailed, but it was something very dear and unique as well. And then Finagle Fleabottom created a circus, and that went on for quite some time until someone brought a Book of Doom over and decided to do some investigating, and the rest is kind of history. I mean, Finagle Fleabottom is technically history at this point. And then it fell into the hands of a certain halfling wizard. There aren't many people who know that the gem exists that are still around at this point. Finagle Fleabottom had it for decades, literally decades. But Mo is, oddly enough, still around. And if no one's particularly interested in using it, he'd kind of like it back.
Oh, God.
Details.
God. All right. That tells me a lot, but...
You said I could be cryptic.
Oh, yeah, that's in character. That's all Bryn has said so far that wasn't, like, muttering the verbal components to herself.
Bryn is very much aware that Mo hasn't aged a day since he made the deal with Mr. Fleabottom. And Fleabottom looked young when the deal was made.
All right, that's disturbing. Mazir? I know the Book of Doom probably doesn't work this way, but if you can find anything about Mo in there, it might be very, very relevant.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure there's an index, but I'll see what I can do.
Check under B for bartender. No, wait, wrong Mo. That's my Simpsons reference for the day.
I'll also check under L for Lane. Which is a joke one person gets. No, sorry, two people. Beth is listening to chat.
I'm lost.
Let me put it this way. The weird stuff that I come up with regarding the rules of the game, 100% of what I do, I learned from Mo Lane.
Gotcha.
And the fact that he just recently found a backup of his blog where he had a catalog of the weird stuff that he'd come up with is terrifying.
Wow. Oh, anyway. He lost it. That's why I couldn't find it except through the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, he lost it, and he just found it, like, this week.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so yeah, I will be looking through the Book of Doom while this is going on.
Okay. Give me a religion check.
A religion check? I don't have to tab away because I have my sheet up. I'm 18.
Okay. So you don't find any passages that are like, yes, the tiefling Mo. Here are his character stats.
The tiefling known as Mo. Right, exactly. Yes.
But you've gotten kind of used to the whole idea of this Book of Doom is sort of a mutable thing. It's not like most books that you find in most libraries. So what you kind of do when you're looking for new passages is you flip through kind of randomly and stop when you feel like stopping and then look at that page to see if anything catches your eye. And oddly enough, very frequently, it's relevant or will be relevant depending on if it's something like, oh, by the way, the moon's going to go away.
This absolutely makes sense to me.
Okay. So
both as a character and as a player.
The passages you find aren't really talking about tieflings or bards, because Mo apparently was a bard, or anyone whose name begins with an M. Rather, they're descriptions of the Raven Queen. And
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Descriptions of the Raven Queen and her role in the cosmic scheme of things. The Raven Queen is a relatively new goddess, so far as deities are concerned, and she has taken over the portfolio of death. It is her job, so far as deities are concerned and have jobs, to make sure that the deceased shrug off those mortal coils and move on to, shall we say, their reward? Not all of those people would refer to reward as stated. Some of them would use air quotes. But you've got so many years, and then it's your job to move on. And the Raven Queen facilitates this. She's not a big fan of undead. She probably would not get along with Seelan very well. And where they go afterwards isn't really her problem. It's other people's problems. Unless they're an adherent to her, in which case, you know, she's like, hey, cool. Glad to have you here. Pull up a chair or whatever. And every now and then, someone shows up that's outside all of this, because they are a representative of another player in the grand cosmic scheme of deities. And that's the information that you get from the Book of Doom.
Okay. So she's less a psychopomp and more the ticket seller.
More like the ticket puncher.
Right, right. Okay, gotcha. I was looking for a metaphor, and ticket seller was the best one I could come up with. But yeah, ticket puncher works. She's not the guide on the jungle cruise. She's the one who makes sure you've got the ticket to go on the jungle cruise.
And once you have that ticket, she makes sure you're getting on that darn boat.
Exactly.
And the whole thing that you've learned earlier about the Raven Queen, where she enjoys stories of people rising up only to fall a further height, that's more of a hobby for her. That's not her main interest. Well, her main job.
Yeah, yeah.
But she...
This makes sense to me, both as a player and a character, because she's not the guide on the jungle cruise. She's the ticket puncher on the jungle cruise. She's the one who makes sure that if you've got a ticket for the jungle cruise, you're going on the jungle cruise. And Mazir distributes the fast passes.
Oh.
I already gave you inspiration.
And we've been playing for an hour.
Yeah, let's take a short break. I'm gonna press buttons. Okay, we are back from evil laugh practice. So, I want you all to remember to do your practice sessions at least 20 minutes a day. Remember, you're working the diaphragm. That's where it comes from. It's got to be a good gut laugh to get it to go really well. Archbeth, yes, that's fantastic. Excellent form. Ellie, you get a gold star. All right. So Bryn has gotten additional information about the gem and its uniqueness and who might want it back and is at a bit of a loss for words. The rest of you are hanging out in the library. Peter is showing off his gun to Sanctimonious and talking about how he made this one. Apparently, he sort of picked this up as a hobby after seeing Paige make the Rube Goldberg cookie dunker. The first few iterations were more spring-loaded or like portable trebuchet models, and he eventually switched over to smoke powder because, pun intended, it had a lot more bang for the buck.
Oh gosh, he is an artificer now, isn't he?
He can stab things a lot faster than he can reload it at this point, but it is quite effective.
Well, I learned a lot of things I already knew or could easily extrapolate, and something ominous but not entirely helpful.
I'm afraid I have to say the same thing.
Oh?
The book was informative and at the same time not exactly as helpful as I would have liked.
Mo gave Finagle Fleabottom the gem, or rather, traded it for something very dear. And he hasn't aged a day since. That was...
Well,
imagine Bryn's eyes sort of drift over to Sanctimonious for a moment. Decades ago.
Didn't we kill Fleabottom?
Sort of, kind of. You know how...
He read the Book of Doom.
Yes. Most people look in the Book of Doom and go, ow, that's bad. I'm not doing that again. Either that one owl was enough to kill Fleabottom, or he went, ow, why I oughta, ow, okay, but what happens on the next page, ow, until it killed him. That is canonically how the various smoke monsters you've had to fight in this campaign have been created. Someone dying reading the Book of Doom knows terrible secrets, and the main weapon that those smoke monsters had when they used combat was imparting fragments of the knowledge they gained from reading the Book of Doom upon their victims.
What did the book tell you?
The book told me about the Raven Queen's role in the process of guiding souls to their hereafter.
Interesting, but I'm not sure how that's relevant, I guess.
There was some clarity that I didn't have before. She is less a guide and more the one who makes sure that someone's ticket is punched, and that whoever's ticket is punched goes on the ride they're meant to go on.
Better not let her near Seelan.
Oh, I imagine she and Seelan wouldn't get along very well at all.
No, I believe they would have philosophical differences.
That seems very likely.
So what now?
Well, wait a minute. I've just had a terrible thought.
Is that in character or out of character?
In character.
Okay.
So probably both.
Bryn tilts her head. A terrible thought.
And Sanctimonious Peter, if you would excuse us, we need to have a conversation. Oh, and we'll step outside.
Okay. You step outside.
And I am pulling Bryn and Eric with me. And okay. Ulfgar.
As you step outside, you see Plantain Man being chased by about 30 cops.
I assume this is currently because riding Plantain
a unicycle.
Plantain Man.
Like Florida Man, but Plantain. But Plantain.
Yeah.
He is riding a unicycle and throwing bananas at random strangers.
Is Eric still here? Eric.
Yes.
Okay.
He's waiting for the fighting to start.
Ah, fair enough. Perfectly fair cop.
No, no.
Plantain Man has rolled for initiative, but this doesn't seem to be your fight.
You have to understand that in this particular place that you guys are in, and with the context and with your speaking and all that stuff, I'm just here to help you get the things on there. Once you guys finish up and you point me what direction to fight things, I am there. However, when it comes to magic things, nope. Eric doesn't participate in that.
And I have things lined up for you to fight. They're all not here.
I understand, and we're trying to get there. I understand.
They're in a holding pattern. They are currently just like they're doing that whole World of Warcraft thing where they sort of stand in one spot and they move over a couple feet and stand in one spot, then move back and stand in one spot, do their idle animation.
Okay. Well, now that Mazir and Bryn and Eric and Ulfgar have stepped outside so that we can confer. First of all, this is the first thing that I have to say. We can't destroy that gem.
Because Doom and says second, not to?
No, because we're less that Doom says not to and more that we're going to get someone very, very powerful, very, very angry at us if we do. And second,
okay, are you out of character? Are you assuming Bryn has relayed all the information she learned because she hasn't yet?
Oh, I did not know that. Okay, then I'm going to back
Bryn
off
did that. Not actually say anything except what I've said.
No, wait.
I did relay some of that, didn't I? I asked about, I told you about Mo. I relayed that it was unique.
I haven't relayed.
Sorry, I forgot what I'd said. I said Mo, the thing about Mo, I haven't said it's a unique magic artifact yet.
Right.
Sorry, I got very confused. I apologize.
Okay, so I'm going to continue with what I said. We're going to make someone very powerful, very upset if we destroy it. We need to find another way to get rid of it. Also, this is a really good time to, not to put too fine a point on it, but dump Sanctimonious with Peter and run off.
Are you sure? I mean, we...
He's going to be better here.
Okay.
And he's going to be better here. He's going to be better with someone he knows.
I keep forgetting how long it's been. I guess he doesn't know us all that well, comparatively.
And Peter will take care of him.
Yes. He's grown up a lot.
He really has. So we need to leave a note that says we had to flee, and then we need to flee.
Where to?
What are the dooms that we haven't taken care of, Crash?
I don't know.
Okay.
Looking at the most recent list, there's the thing about the moon. De Perfecto is riding from the inside. Birds of a Feather. And there was one about sandstone. You haven't really dealt with sandstone yet. You showed up, fought
really
a dragon turtle, and
yet.
Left.
So we need to get back to sandstone, I think. And Celan is there as a point of contact.
True.
All right. What do you say we return to sandstone and deal with the problems there? Because those people need food.
Jason, that was the point of me coming to Plantain to try and help, trying to send aid to there to the teleporter. So maybe you can have some food of some sort, because Plantain, we have plenty.
Yeah. All right. Through a teleporter or through airborne ships? Through that doesn't go under, over the water.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Let's go out the front door, split up, and meet at the palace. Sound good?
The door's open, and Peter says, sounds like a great plan. Sanctimonious is standing there. Both of them look very grim. Lily is also standing there. She kind of waves at Eric and says, I can cast Detect Thoughts.
Which one of us did you cast Detect Thoughts on?
Eric, but he was listening to the whole thing.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm like an open book. I'm pretty easy to manipulate, unfortunately.
And you'd be surprised, but he pays attention a lot.
Say that again?
You'd be surprised, but he pays attention a lot.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all.
I'm not surprised either.
Well, listen, we'll be on our way. We'll figure out who's going where, but I need to make sure we have aid over to Sandstone before we go back. I need to make sure it's on a rock.
And what's this about not destroying the gem?
We can't destroy the gem.
Why not?
There is a much, much greater power at work.
Mo, you remember.
We can't use the gem.
Are you sure?
Oh, right. He wasn't there.
Yeah, he was in Plantain at the time. Oh, but he looked like he had turned traitor briefly. He was already inside the palace.
When you were pretending to be a traitor, one of the previous owners showed up. We have reason to believe said owner might be the representative of a deity.
Your point?
We can't beat the Kraken if we're dead.
Mizir, if we all lived our lives trying to not piss off one deity or another, we wouldn't get anything done. Quite frankly, just by standing around, there's at least three members of five pantheons I can think of that would want to strike us down immediately.
Sanctimonious, you just watched me piss off Argonia.
So why should this be any different?
Because I don't know anything about this one.
Because there's a deity passively disapproving or not favoring a course of action, and there's a representative of an unknown deity taking an active interest.
And more to the point, I have been warned that the course of action I was considering, which involved destroying the gem, might lead to my ticket being punched.
Oh,
is that how you interpret that?
Oh, dear.
Regardless of how I interpret that, that's how I'm presenting it.
Then let me destroy the gem. It's hurt me more than it's hurt any of you. And if there's any deity that wants to make a deal of that, they can eat my wall of fire and be done with it.
Sanctimonious, yes, you have been hurt by this gem more than any of us could ever possibly imagine. But I want you to think back to when you woke up this morning. Can you promise me that you will destroy the gem before you go to bed?
You can see the volcano from that window right over there.
Can you promise me that you will destroy the gem before you go to sleep tonight? And can you promise me that you will not wake up on the rim of the volcano?
Those are very shady tactics of yours.
You know me very well, Sanctimonious. My tactics have never been in the sun.
Poetic imagery aside, it needs to be destroyed.
I agree. It has to be destroyed. The longer it exists... And furthermore,
we should make sure that it would be being destroyed and not, say, just falling back into Mo's hands so he can make a deal with somebody else. We don't know.
Bryn, you have the gem, right?
Bryn nods.
Hand it to me.
Monsieur?
Trust me. Hand it to me.
I trust you. And Bryn hands over the gem.
Sanctimonious, you don't trust me. And you shouldn't. Can you prove that this gem is the gem that mind controlled you for 40 years?
Oh,
I see. Well, I rolled a 5 on my Arcana check, so not currently.
And I...
Well, 5 plus modifier, but still.
Can't prove that Monsieur doesn't know a particular spell. Or at least I say this myself, having forgotten whether warlocks can... Okay, warlocks can't, but arcane tricksters can.
And you're wrong, Mizir.
What am I wrong about?
I do trust. You make decisions that are not always in line with, shall we say, the local wishes of the magistrates. But you try to make the right decision. I trust all of you.
Sanctimonious, I don't want this gem to ever enslave anybody else.
Then why are we still having this conversation?
Because before we destroy it, we need to lure Mo out.
No.
No?
Because I don't know yet what the Raven Queen wants to do with it. And because you won't trust it, you won't trust that it's destroyed until you have held it in your hand, used it to enslave someone else, handed it to them, and told them to throw it in the volcano. Before that happens, you will not truly believe that it's gone. And that means that in order for you to believe that it's gone, you have to use it.
I don't
so
like...
So do you trust me?
I
don't, or don't you?
Like anything about this plan.
I don't like anything about this plan either.
And I definitely don't like that the logic seems sound.
I'm trying to keep everybody alive. That's all I want to do. I want to keep everybody alive and in control of themselves. And I don't want anybody to go to a reward they don't deserve when their life ends.
And I don't want to throw it into a volcano until I know that that's going to destroy it, and not just have it vanish to wherever it...
Give me an Arcana check.
All right. Let me find my character sheet. Okay, my Arcana is +8. That's a 26.
In your experience, volcanoes are one of the traditional means for getting rid of magical items.
That's true, but what Bryn's saying stands.
Well, magical items are virgins.
But why would you get rid of all that olive oil?
No. The virgin I'm fine getting rid of, it's the extra virgin that I want to keep. Okay, sorry. Moving on.
I do love this game so much. Also, some guy named Joe for some reason.
Yeah, that's weird. You wouldn't think Joe would want to go up against a volcano. The CR difference is phenomenal.
It would take one heck of a nat 20.
It really would.
Or a nat 1.
Or some really good luggage.
Yeah, some really good luggage.
Okay.
So are we throwing it in a volcano or not? Based on the components that we acquired, you were casting legend lore for the gem, am I right?
Yes.
Did you learn anything about whether or not the gem was impervious to lava?
No. And I also didn't learn whether or not a probable bard who could theoretically know all sorts of spells cast instant summon on it at some point or not.
So it seems to me that our lack of action is because you're afraid that the action won't do anything.
That's one of the things I'm afraid of. There are
but
a lot of...
inaction isn't doing anything, except giving more opportunities for the gem to fall into the wrong hands.
Okay, I see where this is going. I have no objection to it.
I perhaps have a very, very strong opinion on the matter.
I hand the gem to Peter.
Okay.
I trust Peter's judgment to be the same throughout the day. If Peter decides the gem should be destroyed, then destroy it. And if he doesn't... I know he's not going to do anything to harm Sanctimonious or the people of Plantain.
What happens if Mo shows up?
Well?
Tieflings are only resistant to fire, not immune. No offense, Mazir.
Perhaps Sanctimonious could stay here and help defend Peter in that case.
The people of Plantain will help defend.
That too. You've grown into a very fine young man, Peter, and we trust you.
But if there are divination spells watching, it is the one holding it.
He'll have an entire community to back him up.
Anyone want to go on a day trip to a volcano?
Well, it's hot outside already on Plantain, so I have no problem. We can do it.
Right, let's all pack up and get moving.
I don't.
We'll be happy
to
escort you.
I don't know.
But the decision is yours.
Peter looks over at Bryn. I spent 5 years thinking you were dead. I came here because I decided I was never, ever going to let anyone I care about get hurt again if I could help it. And I didn't have the strength to do that yet.
That's why I'm worried.
And he holds up the gem. This thing has hurt more people than I have ever met, including people I care very dearly about. Look what it's done to you. I'll throw this in the volcano myself, and if anyone has any problem with that, I'm ready for them.
I apologize, because this is going to take a quick game of telephone, but... I'm going to whisper something in Peter's ear.
Okay. All the typings. Peter looks at you like you just gave him a horrible idea.
I know it's a horrible idea, but it's the only way to prove to Sanctimonious that what we're doing is on the level.
No. No, it's not.
It's okay.
I'm not using this thing. And he walks off.
Give me another way.
He's not responding. He walked off.
I follow.
Okay, I don't.
Okay. He walks out of the library, and it turns towards the volcano and starts walking.
I'm going to keep following.
Sanctimonious is following along.
I'll follow Sanctimonious. Sanctimonious, I tried to get him to prove it.
Monsieur, and Sanctimonious puts a hand on your shoulder. You don't understand, and he does. None of you need to prove it. And he walks off. And that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
Okay.
Thank you everyone for playing. Thank you everyone for watching.
Very emotional.
There will probably be combat next
week.
It was
very emotional.
Yeah. My gosh, that was charged. It was half and half because on one hand, I don't want to feel like I'm railroading the adventure, but I'm playing two NPCs who have very strong feelings about this gem. And you handed it to one of them.
No. I as a player understand that. I as a character have a deception of plus 13.
Yeah. I have a feeling.
I as a character am trying to prove to everybody present that I didn't palm the gem and replace it.
But at the same time.
And I am not certain you didn't palm it and replace it.
But at
the
same time.
As the most potent liar in the group, I'm trying to prove that I'm telling the truth.
And you've got two NPCs that trust you implicitly to make the right choices. Now, with that said, thank you everyone for playing. Tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Ellie, Eric, Io. We got Jen listening in chat, Cindy listening in chat.
Wait, Ellie
Archbeth hanging out in chat. Sorry?
I said, wait, Ellie was here?
Yeah, I know you owe her money, but still.
Yeah. If she's listening in, geez.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Enjoy a fun game of D&D?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
I'd say talk to yourself, but you're not GMing.
Okay, let's do a few quick plugs. Ellie has a social network, elk.xyz. It runs on Mastodon, so if you have a Mastodon account, you can follow many of us there. Links to our various
ELEKK.xyz. ELEKK.xyz. One more time, ELEKK.xyz.
Operators are not standing by because it's automated. Yes, and those of us who have Mastodon accounts or Twitter accounts or whatever social media accounts, you can find links to that in the cast link in the show notes. Also, Eric has a Twitch stream, twitch.tv/untamedsyn. That's S-Y-N. And he was actually streaming recently. I was asleep when he was streaming, or I would have watched.
Streaming some Oxygen Not Included. So if you like crazy management games, that's what I like.
I hear that game has one heck of an atmosphere. Also, EO's mom writes books. You can get those at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
That's elizabeth-mccoy.com. elizabeth-mccoy.com.
Yes, a fortunate three. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Chris, Cindy, Ellie, and Eric. And until next time, this is Crash saying...
That's Cogwheel Gaming, also Cogwheel Gaming.
All right, who's ready to throw something into a volcano?
Not me.
Crash says, preferably Ellie.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.